this is TD Jakes, and he thinks that taking care of pastors so they don't turn into a bunch of raving lunatics is a good idea.
Hey! So,
yeah. So this is Church is Lame. We're going to talk about how this doesn't break the church.
For once.
Because, you know, hey, it's Thanksgiving, you know, so.
Hey! Gobble, gobble.
Yeah. We gotta talk about something positive. Of course, I got to talk about something kind of maybe negative before the positive. So, TD Jakes is just kind of responding to like the condition of pastors, and he has a couple of numbers here. So 63% of pastors report in the last 12 months having been frequently overwhelmed, with 42% of pastors having toyed, quote, this is a quote, toyed with the idea of leaving their ministry in the past year. And that's like way too many pastors.
Right.
And I don't want my pastor to be one of them. And I mean, I don't know. It's like, I'm sure like you can kind of relate to, you know, having seen pastors that were overburdened.
Yeah. I think we actually talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, these numbers, 63% feeling frequently overwhelmed and 42% toying with the idea of leaving. These are not surprising numbers. These are probably, I would say, it's interesting to see it in print and actually see something beyond your own suspicions, right? But yeah, it's a tough slog, and it's amazing it's amazing that more pastors don't quit, and it's amazing that pastors are able to stay as sane as they do with the incredible responsibilities and burden of ministry leadership.
Yeah, at a church I used to go to, I mean, we had a pastor that was in a situation where, like, he was feeling kind of, you know, I shouldn't say kind of, he was feeling isolated.
Yeah.
And that led to just a whole bunch of stupidity. I mean, bad things happened. Not, like, super gnarly, like, you know, sleeping with the congregants bad. But, right. You know, like, he just, like, he was making bad decisions, doing things he really shouldn't have done, but he felt like he was supposed to take charge of them, and he wasn't, you know, conferring with other people because he felt like he couldn't, like, it was the expectation. So, like, having been through that, it's like, you know, it's nice to see, you know, TD Jakes trying to do something to contribute positively toward that situation. And I'm not saying that I agree with TD Jakes, you know, any other day of the week on anything.
Right.
But, you know, a good idea is a good idea.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I wanted to say that as well. It's really important that we remember that aside from Joel Osteen and Brian Houston, very few people are 100% bad or 100% good, right? Like they have good days and bad days. They have great ideas and they have bad ideas. Every time they put their hand out and ask for money for a private jet, that's a bad idea. But every time they put their hand out and say, hey, could we get some money together so we can make sure the pastors like don't commit suicide like the one pastor did a few weeks ago? Can we make sure that never happens again? And so you just have to give credit where credit's due when a good idea comes out.
Yeah, and especially since you know, he is making this and he's calling it the Faith and Mental Health Hub. Yeah. And he's making it a free resource.
And hallelujah. I think
that's a great thing. You know, because I mean, there are other resources out there for pastors, but there's not nearly enough.
Right.
But making it a free resource, I think is a really great thing. Because, you know, it's something that, it's kind of small at this stage of the game. There's over a dozen videos that pastors can watch, but it's like, you don't have to make a monetary commitment as a pastor. So if you're unsure, if this is the kind of thing you need, like there's no risk.
Exactly.
So like, I'm hoping that will bring in pastors to want, you know, maybe who feel weird about mental health, kind of giving it a try just to kind of feel it.
Right. And the thing is, nobody ever, like you go to seminary and you learn theology, you learn hermeneutics, you learn, you know, how to study the Bible, you learn how to preach, you learn how to teach, you learn how to do all these things. But nobody ever teaches you how to be able to counsel people through burdens without living their burdens with them, right?
Right.
And so a lot of young pastors especially, the burden of their congregations, the burdens weigh them down so much that that often it feels like they're being like they're drowning along with the people they're trying to rescue. And so I'm all for this resource if it helps, if it helps pastors identify that in themselves, or if it helps leaders identify that in other leaders and other members of their congregation to say, hey, you are in a bad place and we are going to send you on, you know, 2 week, 4 week sabbatical, it just so you can get some healing and figure out where you are in this, I don't know what's the right word, spectrum, yeah. of drowningness, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, this wouldn't be an episode of Church is Lame if I didn't complain about something.
Well, that's so, who we are, right?
So here's my complaint. And that is, you know, having, you know, when I was looking at grad schools to go to, you know, I was looking at a lot of MDiv programs, at the universities around here, which there's a lot to choose from.
Right. Yeah.
And the one thing I noticed about like all the MDiv programs is that they were just really weird. I mean, there didn't seem like there was a really strong focus on ministry. Like it was, you had to have a class in like church administration and like this other thing and this other thing. So it's like, they were trying to pack all these functions into a pastor. And I'm like, well, you're not as a pastor going to be good at like any of these.
Right.
And then consequently, I feel like it did kind of lack in the academics side of it. Like there's a lot of practical things. Of course you expect that for a pastor to learn. But when it came to the academics, that's why I ended up going to Wheaton College, is because it was a more academically rigorous program, because I feel like, well, if lead pastors are taking on this much more, diverse role, then there's a room and a need for people to become a little bit more specialized and focus on just kind of like the nerdy things. So when people have questions about, well, what does the Bible say, or what does the Bible mean, or blah, 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 you have somebody who's very prepared to respond to that.
Right. Yeah, I hear that. It's an interesting, dichotomy. Nobody can be the master of all things.
No.
Yet, very few churches get to the place where they become, financially strong, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have church budgets that are dwindling to the point where the future of pastoralship is really like bivocational or multivocational, yeah. You know? And so we're asking pastors to do more and more while paying them less, and certainly not expecting them, to expect a full-time salary. So in a sense, even though we don't want them to become masters of everything, I don't know how to avoid it.
Yeah, because I, you know, like when you say, you know, like a lot of pastors are bivocational, my pastor is a bivocational pastor. And it does put a lot more responsibility on us as a congregation to take charge about things, which I think is maybe a generally a good thing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things when I was looking at this program, I'm kind of bouncing around the notes a little bit, so sorry about that. Yeah, I mean, because like pastors don't necessarily have the skills to take care of themselves. Right. And so something like this, it's free, which means that like you or me, you know, as congregants, like we can go and watch these things and maybe it'll help give us skills. Cause a lot of people like, you know, you and me, like we are involved in church ministry, but like it can teach us things that can help us to better take care of the pastors as well. So I think it's a good resource. It might be a good resource for just everybody.
Absolutely. And I think it's one of the things that, that it's really hard to put like a real metric behind is how valuable it is to have a celebrity name behind it, right? So in this case, T.D. Jakes, right? Like I'm sure the internet is full of all sorts of crisis management websites and free resources, right? But who the heck knows where to go? Mm-hmm. And so a resource like this that makes waves because T.D. Jakes is behind it kind of really helps to create a single point, right?
Yeah.
That hopefully this may get some momentum and this really can become like the de facto standard of mental health care training for people in ministry.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when like we talk a lot about, you know, the celebrity pastors, and we have no end of suspicion when it comes to celebrity pastors. But I agree with you. Like, this is a good use of that celebrity ship that, like, that somebody can use this way to just to bring attention.
Like you already said, this is a great way for laity, for regular people, for, mm-hmm. for your church volunteers, deacons, whatever you call them, to care for pastors. It's also just a good way to remind everybody in the church that the job isn't just for the pastor to care for you. And the job isn't for you just to put money in the offering plate. The idea is that we all take care of each other. We take care of each other. We take care of those in the community who can't take care of themselves. We take care of our relationship to God. And this is the kind of thing that just kind of reminds us that we're all in the boat together. And I think in today's mm-hmm. day and age where we are making others out of every niche group that we can, this is a great reminder that maybe we ought to put this down, maybe that attitude down for a while, and take a look at those around us and see who it is we can care for.
Yeah, like I was just thinking of Galatians 6:6, you know, so where Paul writes, you know, those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Mm. And I think, you know, when you're learning from a pastor, this is one of those all good things, is taking care of them, taking care of their mental health needs, I think is definitely part of that. Not merely giving them a paycheck, of course, you know, making sure they're not starving on a street, you know, that's good too, but.
Yeah. Oh, it's like you bought them the smallest trailer in a trailer park that you could afford, that you could, you know, spend money on. You bought them the cheapest car in the used car lot. You made mm-hmm. sure that they have a stipend for food. Like, well, that's big of you, you know? So yeah. Doing more than the minimum.
Yeah, but like nice things, like you can be totally broke in the world, but still have enough love to share and to take care of your pastor.
That'll preach. Well, let's take a break, and after the break, we'll come back and talk about some headlines that were actually too good to ignore. A new segment that we're trying out, and we'd love for you to let us know if it's actually working or not. Is headlines that we can't ignore, but we also don't want to spend the whole time of the episode on. And we had one this week that was especially good, and I wanted to bring up because it's Mark's alma mater.
Yay!
And Mark, what does alma mater mean?
Alma mater means nourishing mother.
I should have figured out a way to like make you put it in the form of like a Jeopardy question.
Oh, yeah, that would have been something to think about. Is Jeopardy even culturally relevant?
I hope so. Like, it's run reruns, right? They actually do it on streaming services. Yeah. They run it on streaming services.
And we routinely, you know, reference, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme movies or whatever that nobody cares about anymore. So why should I care?
I think just like The Price is Right is not The Price is Right without Bob Barker, I think that Jeopardy will never be Jeopardy again without Alex Trebek.
No, it won't be.
Okay. Well, back to our headline, though.
Yeah. So, you
go ahead and give this some context because you'll do it much better than I will.
All right. Yeah. So, the Evangelical Theological Society, which is a big one. There's also the Society for Biblical Literature. Like, those two are like the real big names, you know, where, you know, academics, you know, professors, like, you know, they're going to deliver papers and things like that. And the ETS just elected their first woman president. Karen Jobes, who is a professor at Wheaton College, which is, I think, pretty awesome.
I just want to take a minute, as it's Thanksgiving, to talk about what we're thankful for. It's been a big year for the Wilder family. We moved from Chicagoland area down to the Indianapolis area, and it's been great for everybody. We're closer to family. We're going to have Thanksgiving with family this year. I have a stable job that allows me to, you know, to meet the basics, to mm-hmm. keep a roof over our head and healthy meals. And nobody has to wonder where the next meal is coming from. So just a ton of blessings for the Wilder family. Mark, I'm thankful for you and your partnership, your continued partnership in this endeavor that sucks out a lot of time and doesn't make a penny for us. I'm thankful for the show and for everybody who listens and views the show and gives us feedback, knowing that we're not alone in thinking that the world, the Christian world, is a little bit askew and maybe needs some correction. So much gratitude for so many things. I just thank you all, and I wish you the best holiday season ever.
Yeah, it's been a year with, you know, its ups and downs, like every year, of course. You know, I mean, it's the most trite possible thing I could say, right? But for sure, you know, like having this podcast, it's been a really good time, you know, for one. And it's nice to have, you know, a spouse that supports, you know, me doing this and, you know, dedicating this room to this process.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's like this, like I ended up just, you know, stealing this room of the house. It's a good thing we don't have children, I guess. Yeah. We can just do whatever we want. But, you know, yeah, I mean, just things have been good. You know, it's like, you know, like little things like, you know, the car note's paid off and, you know, now we can, you know, we were able to save up enough money. We can start looking about fixing some of the things in our kitchen. So maybe that one air vent actually has cold and hot air coming out of it when it's supposed to. Nice. just like all those little things. And especially for me, like being able to become more involved at my church, you know, having, you know, more, doing more Sunday school teaching and being on a regular on the preaching schedule now. And that's just an amazing thing. Nice. Just to, you know, to be able to build up that ministry experience at, you know, at my home church.
I'm not going to do my usual spiel. It's Thanksgiving. We're thankful for you. We're thankful in general. Now that I'm moved and we're settled in Indianapolis, I've been like getting myself back on the horse in terms of discipline in like the website and the YouTube and all the different behind the scenes things. So if you would, please go check out the website, www.churcheslame.com, and click around a little bit and let us know what you think. We appreciate you and we thank you for watching.
And with that, go in peace and serve the turkey in the sorry, I couldn't stop myself. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
And if you look above my shoulder somewhere, I'm sure there'll be a card that will take you to someplace interesting. Thanks a lot.